Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.
And right now it's just after 4 o'clock. It is Thursday, and that means it's time to talk to Ray Ferraro from Toronto. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Sorry for
hanging
making
around.
That. Yeah, sorry.
Ready to do a game tonight?
Yes, sir. The Leafs and the Coyotes. Not exactly a clash of the Titans, though, eh?
No, I could be in Edmonton, though. Buffalo's there.
That's true. That's true. I mean, are the Leafs in that? Are they in that category now?
No, I don't think so. If this is a relative term, I think they're too good to be in that grouping. I mean, they'll have a bingo ball in the process, but they're. I can't see them not being able to score for the rest of the year. They got 14 goals in their last 10 games. I mean, that's kind of remarkable, actually.
And there was a time that they were one of the highest scoring teams in the league this year.
And that's what makes this all the more crazy. I mean, they've undergone a systems change. You know, I understand that. But, you know, if you check hard, that doesn't mean you can't score. It doesn't mean that your power play has to be terrible, which theirs has been. So Kessel's got two goals in January. He's got one at even strength. His track record is that he's going to score sometime and score much more than this. They're starting to get a couple of their injured forwards back. Peter Holland, Leo Komarov played last night, and Joffrey Lupul will play tonight. So they're icing a better lineup. I mean, they're not a great team, but I thought they would be a team that hangs around the, you know, 8, 9, 10 spot. And I'm quite surprised it's been this bad.
Ray, not to be overly critical of the interim coach here, but two things that I just didn't understand. Maybe you could give me a bit of explanation. Number one, why Komarov was playing on the top line with Phil Kessel last night. And number two, why in a shootout, Kessel, who was flying on the ice, didn't shoot. And also JVR, who's one of their better shootout guys, also didn't shoot and said they go with Santarelli and Bozak.
Well, the first part, I know they like they want to have a harder player with Kessel and Kadri last night. I mean, it would be much the same as why is Dale Weiss playing on the top line, you know, in Montreal. Dale Weiss is, and Leo Komarov are not that dissimilar. You know, they're wrecking ball players who can, you know, can get in on the forecheck. And, you know, Komarov had been out for quite some time. He was off to a terrific start to the year. His year has been totally derailed with a couple of injuries, a concussion, and now a shoulder. So that's why I'm assuming they have him there. As for the shootout, I don't know. I mean, Santarelli's been good at it. I understand that. Sometimes I think teams overthink this stuff. Van Riemsdyk scored on a breakaway in the game. That would have been a no-brainer for me. He would have been shooting. I would have had him in the shootout too, because maybe he gets one in the shootout, and that gives him a little bit of zip. And tonight he scores a regulation goal. I mean, you got to get him going. I would have gone that way myself.
We know Brendan Shanahan is the top dog there in Toronto. It looks, at least to me, like Dave Nonis is sort of dead man walking at this point. Peter Horacek, hard for me to envision a scenario where he's back there next year. With that, if that is the case, what kind of an effect do you think that has on the guys in the locker room?
You'd like to think that everybody can, you know, can just focus on exactly what's going on, but we all know from our own jobs that that's not the case. When you see dysfunction or you see change at the top, everybody's scrambling around to figure out who's got the power, who's making the decision, who really holds all the juice. And, you know, I know if I were playing for any interim coach, your thought would be that, well, they're not going to be here next year anyway. I mean, that's why I'm not a fan of hiring an interim guy, because in most cases, that interim guy doesn't even stand a fighting chance. And I would say that's a little bit of the case here. I mean, I think they've played hard. I think they've tried to play the system that they're trying to head towards, which is a more complete, less rush reliant system. but all of a sudden they can't score and their power play stinks and they don't win. And so it's, you know, it's easy to get discouraged. I've been on enough teams that you get discouraged on, and right now they look like they're one of them.
The Arizona Coyotes face the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. The NHL on TSN. Ray Ferraro is in the Big Onion to take that game in, and he joins us right now on TSN 690's Melnick in the Afternoon. Ray, I want to change gears and ask you about the Canadiens. I want to throw this stat at you. Let's see here. Six teams in the league with a worse shot differential than the minus 3.1 that the Habs have going. It is the Coyotes, who you'll see tonight, the Leafs, who you'll see tonight, Colorado, New Jersey, Columbus, and the Buffalo Sabres. Are they too reliant on Carey Price, given the fact that they are, in the standings, so much better than any of these teams?
Well, I mean, the answer is yes. I mean, you don't necessarily want to have your goalie making 40 saves like he did the other night. They also have the great fortune of having a goalie like that. But I don't think there's any question they would like to lower the number of shots they give up. I mean, it really goes back in a way. I'd like to know, of that shot differential, how much of that is accumulated in the first period? Because they've given up the first goal 26 of 46 times. I mean, that's absurd for a team that has a record like them. They've been, I mean, guys go right back to the start of the year, and they've been a slumbering team out of the blocks almost, I would say 60 to 70% of the time. Even when they do get the first goal, you look at a first period and you go, eesh, that was no good. And then they kind of get going. So I think they would, without question, like to improve their defense. They'd like to, they'd probably like to have another forward as well. And maybe some of that means you have the puck a little more. You expedite your exits out of the zone. You get out of there a little quicker. You don't give up a second and a third shot as much as they do. I think they'd like to do all those things, and maybe they will by the deadline. But in the meantime, they're pretty damn fortunate that they've got the goalie they do. Because that's they give up a lot of chances and a lot of shots on some nights that I don't think they really have to do. They should be better in that form.
They're also 13-6 in one-goal hockey games. So does that mean that there's automatically this reservoir and experience that they can tap into come playoff time because they're winning these close games? Or is it dangerous because they're involved in so many games with a tight margin?
Well, I would say a lot of that depends on how, you know, on what end of those spectrums you're coming out. Now, Anaheim's won a million one-goal games this year. I mean, it's incredible. I want to say they're like 22-0 and something or other, 4 or 5. It's remarkable. And so they'll tell you, yeah, we're getting experience and we can win these tight games and we know how to win. If you lose a bunch of them, then you don't get the big goal when you need it, or you don't, your power plays let you down, or your special teams aren't quite good enough. I mean, you can spin it however you want. If you can find a way to win a close game, I think it does help you. I think you have less panic when the game is close. You worry about a lot less if you've had success in anything. I mean, this is, you know, experience has given them the knowledge that they can win a close game. And again, and I'll go right back to the goalie. When they're in a close game, they also have Carey Price standing in their crease. And so when they need a big save late to keep the game tied, they get it. A lot of other teams just don't get that save.
Are you okay with a goaltender winning the Hart Trophy, and should Carey Price be that guy this year based on his play so far?
I'm just iffy on it. You know, I don't love it because they have their own trophy. But I would say it's not a given that it would be Carey Price if you're going to give it to a goalie. You would have to consider Pekka Rinne in Nashville. They have two wins outside of Pekka Rinne in goal. I mean, he's been remarkable. Really, technically, both of these guys could be in the top five or seven for most valuable player voting. I don't know that I love a goaltender winning it, though. My guess is they're not going to.
Ray, before we let you go, Super Bowl Sunday, this is our last chance to talk to you. Who you got in the big game?
It's kind of weird. I live in Vancouver, so, you know, we get a lot of Seahawks coverage, and Vancouver is pretty crazy Seahawk country. I've always been, back to Steve Grogan And that era of the Patriots, I've always been kind of a Boston fan. I liked Bobby. I loved Bobby Orr. I liked Jim Rice was my favorite Red Sox. And you know, I liked the Celtics and the Patriots. I guess I've always kind of followed. So I'll cheer a little bit, I guess, for the Patriots. But what I really want is a close game. I can't stand when the Super Bowl stinks when it's over by half. I hope this is really good.
Me too. All right. Thanks, Ray.
You guys have a great one. We'll talk to you next week.
Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.